It has been said that he who wishes to fly must first learn to stand and walk and run and dance. You cannot just fly into flying. Over the last 12 weeks, we have learned as a church to stand. In the midst of ever-changing and difficult times, we have learned what it is to stand together as a church. Over these past 3 months, we've been tested as a church. There have been some challenges and some great moments of unifying blessings and opportunities. We have been able to care for those who are hurting, who are sick. We've been able to continue to worship and to study and encourage one another, even though we are apart from one another. Today, I want to encourage us. I want to show us how we can stand together and now walk together, taking those steps to be in movement, moving forward towards the goals that God has placed before us. It's been said that if you want to walk fast, then you walk alone. If you want to walk far, then walk together. How can we walk together? Today I want to share with you three things that I think will remind us of how this church works, how we can walk together, work together, how we can succeed in the mission that God has given to us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. And if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken." When churches work together, it starts with leadership. It starts with the elders setting the pace. This goes back to the very beginning of what Christian churches look like. And you remember back in Acts chapter 2, as this church explodes, as the day of Pentecost comes, and Peter is able to, he and the other apostles, able to baptize 3,000 individuals. And then the church starts to meet. And it says that the early church, they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. They were casting the vision. They were leading this new church. And it says that what they said and the ways that they acted was empowering and a blessing. It was motivating to the church. And the church continued to grow. I want you to notice that a successful church has leaders who are willing to lead. I know that sounds simple, but it is a very important point. Our leaders over the last 12 weeks have engaged in an act of leadership like they've never been a part of before. Our elders, our shepherds within this congregation, have served this body for so many years. They have gone through a variety of experiences and tests. They have been successful in a variety of other situations, but none have prepared them for these past few weeks. Leading when we are unable to be together, working in a distance through technology, missing the vibrance, the feedback, the engagement that comes from a congregation. But I want to share with you three things that elders do. I want you to notice what our elders were doing. I want you to notice what these early elders were doing in their work. Because an elder works through faith, and they set a vision for the congregation to move forward. Listening to God's word, they set the vision. They cast the vision. They project into the future. They see the challenges that are coming. In just a little bit, I'm going to be talking about another curve that's coming our way. As we've gone through the curve of a heater going out, as we've gone through the curve of COVID preventing us from worshiping together, and now a third one that is coming our way, how do they lead us through this? How do they also spend time in prayer working for our congregation to be a collective family, a body that is fully engaged with one another. And elders lead by example. It takes a special individual to be a leader within the church. Think back to David for just a moment. David, the shepherd boy, in Psalm 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's why David then was given an opportunity to become king. In Psalms chapter 78, verse 71 and 72, it says, we see God using David in this passage. And it says, from tending the sheep that he brought him to being the shepherd of his people, David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. Think for just a moment about David and his work. When nobody was around, when he was a shepherd boy, he was engaged in a battle with these lions or bears or others that would come to try to steal and to take his sheep away. Off on a distant pasture, no one around, he could have come back and spun a story that anyone could have believed. He could have prevented himself from being put in danger. He could have abstained from being involved and just walked away. A bear would come and take maybe one or two of his sheep, but the rest of the flock would remain. But he had integrity. He stood his ground. He joined in the fight. He was a participatory individual with that flock. He cared for them. We see the same thing with our shepherds as they have continued to lead, to participate and join in us, sharing a vision that gives us the opportunity to look forward, not just a church that's distracted or disengaged, but to continually collecting us together so that we can worship together, so that we can be encouraging together, so that we can study together online and relate, connect, and be with one another. Their example is powerful. The second thing that I think we need to see within a church that works is that we have leaders, but we also have followers. To walk together, we need leaders and followers. Again, this sounds so simple, but if we only have leaders, then we have chaos. Then we have dysfunction. We have no real direction. We have no power to enact those visions. God has given us a church body that is filled with so many members. And as I look into this camera today, I know that I'm seeing into the households of families and individuals with great talents and resources. And with the vision, encouragement, and the example of our elders, our members can move forward. I want to share with you three things that I think are important for each of us as members. How do we do our job as a member to the best of our ability? Number one, we need to faithfully follow. Faithfully following God, faithfully following our leaders as they follow God. This is important because faithfulness requires integrity. Just like David, when he was with his sheep, he had to have the integrity when nobody else was watching to stand firm in his position. Faithfulness requires integrity, and God will test us in the small aspects of our lives. Faithfully following means that we will participate, we will engage, we will follow as our leaders remind us, encourage us, invite us to be a part of online studies and opportunities, as they encourage us to reach out to those within our flock. Second thing that a member needs to do in order to be a well-balanced, good participant member is to learn to listen and to participate. Participating in learning opportunities. Listening and learning is so important for us. To be able to listen to first the master's voice, to be able to learn to listen to the things that our leaders are encouraging us to do, learn and participate with them. Share your struggles and your questions. Be members who are engaged in the conversation and the connection with our leaders. Don't wait for them just to reach out to you. And the final thing is give grace. Grace is the lifeblood of a healthy church that works. St. Augustine said, grace is not given because we have done good works, but in order that we may be able to do them. You remember the song that we know so well, Amazing Grace. John Newton wrote these words. He said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As a member, we are called to be faithful. As a member, we are called to be a part of a family where we are learning and listening and participating together. As a family, we offer fellowship, that grace to one another. Because without grace, then our fellowship dwindles down to just a family of one member. And that's not what God envisioned for his church, for a church that works. For a church that works, it also requires that we have servant leaders. We have leaders that are shepherds, that are setting the vision, that are prayerfully watching over our flock, who are participating by example. We have members who are following, who are faithful, who are engaged in learning and listening and providing opportunities to give grace. But we also have servant leaders, leaders who are gifted by God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5 through 6, we are reminded that God gives different gifts to each individual. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, we see that the deacon's work of using those different gifts actually builds unity and maturity. In Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, it says this, and I'm paraphrasing, basically, growing together, we become more mature as Christ is our head. Through him, we all grow together. We're supported by love as we continue to do that work that has been given to us. Deacon's role is important because we get to divide. We get to subdivide our vision into specific gifts and talents. Those different individuals who are leading works and events, opportunities, serve with their gifts from God. They bring collection and unity to the body as we get to join in their work. And it is significant, it is powerful, and it changes the church. So often deacons are working behind the scenes, they are working alone, they miss the influence of what God intended for his church. If you go to Acts chapter 6, you see these first deacons who are being selected to go and serve those widows who were missing out. They were in need of food and help for their life. And as word comes from the elders, the shepherds, that they've selected these men, Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, 6, and 7, it shares these three things. That these men were selected and the whole group was pleased. Then word spread. And because of that, the number of disciples grew rapidly. In order for a church to work, we need shepherds. We need leaders who are going to set the vision, who are going to participate by example. We need members who are going to faithfully follow, and we need servant leaders who are going to participate in the variety of works and service within our community, within our body, within our world. And it will make a difference, and it will be a great blessing. So today, as we think about who we are and the direction that we get to go as a part of the South Fork family or a part of the church family that you are a part of, today I want to remind you of three things. I want to ask you to join me in these three things. Number one, would you take time today to pick up the phone or grab a pad of paper and a pen and give a word of encouragement to our elders and deacons? Would you take just a moment to bring to their attention that you are aware that they are working in a unique and difficult situation, that their work is valuable, it's meaningful to you, and that you see what they are doing? Encouragement is the fuel for any organization. So today, would you take some time to to pass that encouragement on to those leaders. Number two, I want to ask you to recommit to being a faithful follower of Christ. Will you decide today that God's church has stayed and maintained, it has thrived throughout great difficult times over the last 2,000 years, but that you will participate, that you will join in its work as a faithful member? As I think about the different households that I get to speak to today, what a great blessing and honor it is. But I know inside many homes, right now, there is great turmoil. There's great anxiety, frustration, depression. There is great controversy between husbands and wives, parents and children. And I want to ask you this question. As you think about all that God has done for His church, for His people, as you evaluate your life, take all those fingers and point them right at yourself and ask this: am I the person that Christ desires me to be? Am I the person that God wants me to be? Am I the leader? Am I the servant leader? Am I the member that God wants me to be? And if not, why not? Will you join me today in becoming a faithful follower of Christ? For some, well, actually for all of us, that requires the family to work together. And so if you're finding yourself not living in a manner that God desires, I want you to pick up the phone. I want you to call me. I want you to come to the office. I want us to spend some time together in counsel and encouragement. I want us to spend some time in God's Word as we see what God really desires for each of our lives, for each of our homes. Oh, this time when we're separated, it's given us a great excuse. But today is the day where we are going to reclaim that promise that we made to our Father in heaven, that we will be faithful followers. And so will you take that step? Will you ask for help? Will you recommit yourself? Last thing I want to ask is that you will join our church, because joining our church means to be at work. I will join the work so that this church will work well. Join us together in the opportunities of proclaiming God, building each other up, and being a part of a family. Over the last few months, we've endured some great challenges. Our heater went out and we were forced to go worship into the family center. I want to encourage you. I want to say thank you for your flexibility, not being griping and complaining about those changes or the difference of chairs or the venue. But you know what happened while we were making that transition? Many of you started to invite your friends and family to come and participate in our worship. We actually saw our attendance grow. 3 months ago, when we were told that we were not going to be able to meet anymore face-to-face until this virus was better under control, we went online, and over the next few weeks, as we learned how to do this a little bit better, you started to participate with us. And I want to thank you, because when we went online, you started to invite your friends and family once again, and we see a bump, a rise in our attendance over these last few weeks. Sometimes 200, 250, up to 350 different devices engaged in a worship service with us. And if your home is like mine, one device is showing and sharing and connecting with several different individuals. God has given us an opportunity to influence and connect in great ways. So I want to ask you, in this next curve that's coming, as we get an opportunity, Lord willing, to come back and worship together. Some of us will be worshiping at the building. Some of us will continue online. We are looking at ways that we will have a better streaming capability to be able to engage here at the building and at home. Will you join us in this work by sharing the message so that people will know how to find us online? Sharing this work so that people will want to come and participate. There's so many different ways that we could be fractured and disconnected, frustrated with one another. But will you join this work? Will you join us together so that we will be a body and we will walk together? We will pick up our pace. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we are walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and he continually cleanses us from our sins. Will you walk with us in this journey? If we walk together, there is no challenge too great. There is no distance too far. There is no obstacle that we cannot overcome. Together with God's Spirit, with God's strength, God's people can do great things. Have a great day.
Lord, take my life. May